Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Gerald. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, it sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Again, I want to thank all of you for coming and praying with us. It's a marvel, I think we all agree. It's just a marvel what he does. It doesn't take 10,000 soldiers or a million soldiers to make things happen. Just people of faith and people agreeing about God's sovereignty and his will. And he keeps working with us. We don't necessarily feel like, you know, we're the Christian mafia or that we're the big dons on the earth because God listens to us. But we do believe that God hears our heart, and in hearing our hearts, he hears the hearts of Christians all over this country. And I would say even through many parts of the world. So he's wonderful, he's glorious, he's marvelous, he's everything we could ever want and more. And tonight we're going to call on him again and see what he will do. He spoke to me once in a vision, and it just, I laughed, I just chuckled. The Lord really does have a good sense of humor. He's got a great sense of humor, actually. And in this vision, he said, he looked at me and he said something like, "How goes it?" And I said, there were a couple of people standing around us in the room. And I said, "You know, I stand where St. John of the Cross stood, Jesus. You go around doing good, doing wonders, doing signs, doing incredible things for us that to you are just everyday events, everyday happenings. It's a normal life to you. But to us Christians on the earth, it seems like a miracle because we could never do it if you were not doing it. And because you always do what you say you're going to do, and you always bring the miracles forth, I'm able to keep following you all the days of my life, and it makes me so happy. Thank you, Lord." And that's what I've got to say about the way we pray, what we pray. Are we looking for good for self, or are we looking for good for the human race? And God likes that idea so much. He's right there with us if we'll keep our motives pure. Amos 3:7, and I'm sure most of you are well acquainted with this scripture, says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing it, the secret to his servants, the prophets." And I'm sure that God is doing things that he doesn't necessarily assign to the mouth of man to reveal. But we have to admit, if man does not say it, the animal kingdom will. And if the animal kingdom doesn't say it, the trees of the field and the flowers and all those things that are appointed for our blessings will say it. And if the trees of the field will not say it, then God will bring it forth from the bottom of the sea. everything in creation sings of his glory, speaks of his glory. If all of these things I've already shared forget to say it, then the stars, the sun, the moon, and all heavenly beauties will cry out his praises in our place. Isn't that incredible? I think he is a God who deserves so much praise that we in our physical beings can hardly deal with it. Well, I know so, because when I am where he is, it's not a light thing for me to be able to stand and say hallelujah or glory or I praise you, Lord. By the time it touches my heart to usher out those words, I'm on my face on the ground or on the floor, and he has to help me get up because he is so extraordinary. His grace, his beauty, his character so exemplary. We don't understand what it means to stand before the holy God of all creation. But someday we'll be able to live with him. And with all that, I'll start trying to ferret out, if you will, some of the things that I want to share with you for tonight. The Lord has been speaking to me on a regular basis, two or three, four visions at a time. And sometimes he doesn't do that. He puts it all into one vision, but he's been putting it in separate visions. He's trying to make a point of certain things that he wants me to share with the team, and he wants us to pray over. And so what I seek to do is what I understand he is wanting us to do. And in these many points, I'm going to kind of rush through. He has some very, very important things that he wants us to tackle. They say wars. He says no. They say bank wars. He says, no. They say gas wars. No. I'm sorry, hold on. They say the European market must go ballistic to bring forth everything we want to do in Europe. And the Lord just listens. Then they say the U.S. market must follow suit. We've got to get this chaos going if we don't do anything else. He says, nothing. Then they say, well, on top of the bank wars and on top of the gas wars, we must have World War III. Because we're never going to be able to bring forth our beloved new world order without it. The Lord says, Well, what else did you want to say? Well, we think we need to bring forth, we need to create an explosion in the Middle East. It seems like you touch your blessed Israel and the whole world starts popping like popcorn. And the Lord just kind of looks, you know, his chin resting on his fingers. Civil strife. We must have civil strife. What can we do to get anything done we need to get done if we don't have civil strife? It's a vital part of it all. And God, you know that. Okay. And who will it be? Citizens against the government. Yay! They think we don't want that, but we do want it. We want to give them the worst government that they can ever imagine chewing so that they can't help them frail selves but fight. Everything you believe in America, we've got to just knock it out in one fell swoop. And the Lord, you know, just kind of readjust his seat. He says, really? I see. And the electric grid, you know, we've been messing with that to kind of prepare them for knocking this stupid thing out for a little bit. Says the Lord. Women and men's competitions. Or men and women's competitions. It isn't that we need it. We know we don't need it. It's stupid. It's really a stupid idea. But just think. Just think of what that can do to the consciousness of these puritanical Americans. Yeah, we think we need to do that. And the Lord says, I see. The reason for the chaos? To bring about weariness and hopelessness so that we can easily be taken over. They don't need the money behind the gas wars. They don't need to do what they want to do with the banks. Have one central bank in every country. My goodness, I can remember hearing about this in grade school, that this was an ultimate desire. And I thought then, now, you know, I'm 74 years old, so I've been around a little while, and they haven't accomplished it yet. I wonder who's praying. They can war all they want to war, make things as difficult for themselves as they can make it. But their chief desire in the end is to own all things. They want to own your bathrobe, your necklace, your shirt, your trousers, your shoes, your car, your house, your furniture. They want to own everything you touch. And that the public would own nothing. This is their goal. And if you think they're doing it just to get our attention, think twice. They're doing it for the sake of ownership. They own you. By that time, you've become nothing more than just a Pinocchio walking around the earth, not knowing what you say or what you think. That is what they want. They want a people who are servitude-minded. They have no desire to have people who have minds to think, voices to speak, and opinions that they want to test. They just don't want it. They want complete autocratic control at every moment. And you can see by the very short list that we have here, that is feasible. That is feasible. But the ones who have the ultimate say in what is going to happen, be it God's will or Satan's, is the church. If we had 2 million people across the earth that believed everything they read in the Bible, well, if they would pick up the Bible and then choose to believe it, and when they hear of trouble coming, choose to believe that and pray. Just pray. God is big enough to take care of everything this group wants to do and many times more. They would be so exhausted by the time the Lord finished with them that they themselves would admit they need a rest. But Christians move into fear, and then they move into self-control. They move out of divine seasons. They move out of divine plans and purposes. And they just go crazy with themselves, trying to stop the evil that only God can stop. It's reached that point now. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just not ready to say they win. I think greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What do you think?
I agree.
Do you think that one who is greater should bow down at the feet of one who is lesser and serve him with head and heart bowed before him in utter servitude? Is that what you think? That isn't what God thinks. While we are called to be a love slave to Jesus, we are not called to be a love slave to Satan and his wants, his demands, his desires, his kingdom. We are here to overcome. We are here to walk in victory. We may have moments where it looks like we're not in victory, but when he brings us out of that hiding place, which is usually what it ends up being, we're stronger than even we ever knew we could have been. He brings us out. He displays his sun through us. We shine like the stars of heaven, and we walk in authority and in power that stops right at the throne of God. And if Satan can convince us that this is not true, then he's won by nothing more than a thought, not even an ideal. He has won because stinking thinking says he's right. And those of us who walk together, we must remind ourselves every day, every single day, who we serve. because the one we serve today is the one who carries our ticket of slavery. If you want God to be your master, make him your master. If you want Satan to be your master, oh my goodness, get away from the land of the saints, because you're never going to be happy with the bliss that comes with heavenly authority. Your goal, my goal, is to see him glorified. And the only way that we can see him glorified is to see truth personified, not only in Christ, but in his church. Amen. Are you guys jumping up and down yet? Like, are you clapping and, you know, jumping up and down? Because this is true. This is good stuff. In the American military, they kind of tell you this stuff. And while they're telling you this stuff, you're wishing you could go home. But here you are in God's military, and every word of truth should enlighten your heart, should make your thinking more clear, more relative, and make God's plans and purposes like gold. When we can do that, we are walking in faith that is beyond anything Satan can touch or destroy. Amen. So we're going to be covering many of those points today and tomorrow. But I have one more that I need to just briefly talk to you about. We all know that there is the hint of war in the air. If we didn't know it, Jesus tells us that is the way it will be. Rumors and rumors of wars. So we know that there's the hint of war in the area, and in all honesty, we know it's real. We know it's potentially now. What we don't know is what they want to do with it. Do they just want to play with it like a cat chasing a mouse? Or do they want to cause serious damage? And what is America doing about that issue? Now, Christians and the American people want America at least knowledgeable. Some Christians are smart enough to say, look, we're sitting here like sitting ducks, and it's not like every American in the world and at home is wanting to turn their life wholly over to the Lord. And since we really don't want to do that, we have got to have a method to defend ourselves. We are making this necessary, not him. He is not telling us one thing and setting us up to do another. We hear what he's saying, no war. Let your warfare be in prayer, no war. And we're deliberately saying, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt where I feel safe. All of us clothed in all of the technology and the war machinery that we need to protect us here in America. We want the whole nation under Egypt control. It isn't God. It is us. Will God give that to us? Of course he will. Because he's not a dictator. He offers us the best. If that's not the kind of best we want, he'll move down to second or third, whatever will make us happy and teach us to learn from goodness instead of evil. So this next little bit that I'm going to say, I won't read the whole thing. I've got pages and pages and pages I could read to you. But I saw three visions of a missile literally going by this window that was in a building. I'm partially sure, I'm pretty sure, probably a building located at the military industrial complex. One vision, two visions, three visions, and they just choo, choo, choo. And the people were scrambling and racing to get at their stations, do what they needed to do to get America into safe mode. Where was the President of the United States? Oh my gosh, he has lost his cookies. This guy doesn't know how to run a country. What in the world is just sitting there doing nothing? And what do you call that anyway? Prayer? To who? But that's what he was doing. He was on his knees praying, and his name was Donald J. Trump. In the fourth vision, I saw all the reasons why we are still vulnerable to war. Things like abortion, although we've prayed for it so much and so much has come about that has been very good, we still have something we need to accomplish, and please let us pray about it daily until the Lord speaks. Human trafficking, that is about as ugly and evil as abortion is. It's just different. And again, no, for a nation that says that the head of that nation is God, it's not acceptable. We had several things back to back that I saw in that fourth vision, and when we kind of can focus in on this, I'll go into it with more depth for you. But the point I'm trying to make is God wants peace. We say, well, peace we want, but they got to see who the bully is in the neighborhood before they're going to succumb. So we have to do war to get peace. Now that sounds logical, doesn't it? God says, I'll do you good. Yeah, well, we look at all this stuff that goes on around the world, people being murdered, people being kidnapped, people, I mean, just everything in the world you can imagine. And we just don't think you've done that good a job ruling mankind. So we'd like to have our say about it. The Father says, wars and rumors of wars has never done any nation any good. But if that's what you want, how would you like to have go along with it? The bank wars, where you end up with even less money in your pocket by the time it's over, and your money becomes duly the property of the state. And gas wars, we've gone through that many times, and you've survived it, so I suppose you probably can think that you'll do it again. Now, I had another vision last night about this, that I am almost certain I've actually spoken on it and we prayed over it. But I'm not so positive that I didn't decide to just kind of drop a thought in here. That one of the things that the New World Order people want to do is to establish these, what did they call them? Something cities. I just can't remember what it's called, but I'll find it and get back to you
smart
on
cities.
Smart cities, yes. Very low population. The whole city in and of itself, very low population. I learned this was many years ago when the first Lord first talked to me about these cities. Is the inhabitants don't even have the right to own a car. And that just seems like an amazing thing to an American. What will we do without our cars? And then huge metropolises and huge not only nations, but places like all of Europe, or all of Asia, or all of America suddenly explodes in civil strife, citizens against the government. Now, we think that Satan and all of his minions are coming against us, and we're surely going to lose. So we'll do anything to stop this. We don't understand that these people have a pretty fair picture in their mind as to just how much they can push mankind before they lose control. So while everyone's running around scared, half out of their wits, they're smiling. Be at peace, brother. Be at peace, sister. And so on and so forth. And they just think this is so much fun. They say reason for the chaos is weariness and hopelessness, but I'll tell you what the reasons for the chaos are. They want you to lose your identity clear down to your gut. And when you can no longer stand up under that kind of dismantling of the human mind, the human ego, you will cease to fight. And they will then be able to use you as any kind of slave. They can do any kind of medical experiments on you they want to do. And you're just not going to do anything about it. Because you've lost all that. You've been put into the category demoralization. And in fact, you have been demoralized because you allowed it to be so. If you know who you are in Christ, they can never do that to you. It's true. Greater is he that is above you, next to you. What is it? Greater is he that is in me, in you, than he that is in the world. Now, if that isn't true, don't say it. But if it is true, why are you worried? Get yourself grounded in the word so they cannot touch you. Get yourself grounded in a relationship with God, knowing the filial relationship he wants with you, and you will be at peace. How do we hear God's voice at every moment? We listen and we believe. We can listen and not mix it with faith, and we're going to be just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. We have to have both a listening ear and a believing heart. And if we have that, they can't have us. Praise God. So we're going to be praying over these things, probably for the next couple of weeks anyway. And we thank you for being here, because if we can get this laid down as our foundation for the next couple of years, at any rate, I would say we're going to be doing more than good. So let me just say a brief prayer, and then I'll wait till the end of the night to try to finish up that prayer. Father, I thank you that you do tell your prophets those things that you plan. It is amazing how you do this. Your word is true, ever true, always true. It is true, true, true. So if we know ahead of time, how can we be overcome? Except that we don't believe it's true. So as in the next couple of weekends, we pull this aside, pray about it, ask you to put these things deep in our hearts, help us to embrace the truth and not be taken down by it, but rather be solidified in grace by it. I love these people, Lord, but I know you love them more. I love my team, but I know you love them more. But Lord, I also know that when you look at the nations, your heart breaks at the failure rate of nations that should be able to overcome any resistance if only they had faith in you. So I ask tonight, Lord, that you will put a special gift of grace and faith on our time together so that hearts can walk away knowing that you have something good in store, that the revival you've been promising is knocking on our door and we're going to open it. We thank you, Father, for your love and your care, your wisdom, your strength, the almightiness of you. And we thank you. You have allowed us to become part of you. In your precious name, amen.